Vasudevaya So last week we did Palisavanam. And you know, we finished up with this quote from Hari Bhakti Kalpalatika, giving a good indication of the mood of Palisavanam as you know, compared to Archanam. In summary, Palisavanam actually includes Archanam, but all other duties during the course of the day. You know, there is one of the main understandings is that Padasavanam is the result of Shravanam Kirtanam done perfectly, which brings one to the platform of Smaranam, never forgetting the Lord, because Padasavanam means that the person never forgets the lotus feet of the Lord. So then the Padasavanam, which does have an element of reverence, because one is keeping one's attention at the lotus feet of the Lord. At the same time, there is an element of spontaneity in offering to the Lord those enjoyable elements of deity worship which may be available in the current circumstances. So the example given, that Prabhupada gave a quote that in 1966 they asked him, what is Padasavanam? He says, you know, just like you know, offering ghee, wick, and lamp, and allowing the sunlight to come in. See, so it's that element. He sums it up really quickly, but it's the element of sunlight which is the Padasavanam. Means the Archanam is there as usual, but if you happen to be in the deity room where there's a window, where perhaps there's curtains, and the sunlight can be coming in the morning, you know, Padasavanam, I mean, would you would open that up, because the circumstances would allow an extra element of worship where you're letting the Lord enjoy the morning sunshine. See? So it's not a regulative. So someone doing Archaman, you know, they may be, well, what's on the list? There's a bell, you know, and, you know, the ghee wick so many times. And so that's Archaman. Padasavanam means that there's circumstantially something very nice for the worship of the Lord. Let's open up the window, let a bit of sunshine in. See, so it's a little different. So it includes Archaman, it includes all of one's usual duties that one would perform, including Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. But one doesn't take one's attention from the lotus feet of the Lord at any stage. So it's actually quite an elevated state properly. And I do notice when I'm in the deity room, doing abhishekas, this, that and the other, that you can see that a lot of devotees are not on the platform of Padasevanam because they only understand the regular things that they may need to do, and there are circumstantial things which pop up and they just miss it, you know. And we also had a discussion that sometimes in different temples where, you know, people are worshipping the Lord under the authorities, but the authorities themselves may not also be aware of what Padasevanam is, and a devotee may do something in Padasevanam and that the authorities may think, well, that's a speculation, you know. Who told you to open the curtains? So, you know, we had a conversation about it. It can be controversial, you know, if it's not properly understood by those doing archaman or, you know, the authorities guiding them. So we had a full discussion on that. And this verse here really summarises that. Of course, anyone wants to hear, they can hear the whole talk that we had last week. But we'll just finish with this. We'll start with this quote again. This is from Hari Bhakti Kalpalatika. I quote this a lot as I'm going through the nine different processes of devotional service because it's a book that was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur come across, an unknown author. He tried for many years to find the author, never could, but he did see one person, a Brahmin from the Ramanuja Sampradaya, I think it was, and you know, he got a copy of that, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur printed it many times because it had such valuable knowledge in it about the nine processes. You know, so sometimes they have it up there in the bookshelf, but it's very good. You know. So, for instance, see if I can. And of course, you know, there are different books where you can actually read about the different markings on the Lord's lotus feet, which all have specific significances, which help the devotee to understand the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord and meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord. I'll read this here. Here is a summary from the Hari Bhakti Kalpalatika of the author is describing the process of deity worship, but as it relates to Padasevanam. The devotees accept the deity form of the worshipable Lord, which is made of stone, wood, or metal, as being directly the Lord himself. In this way, without discrimination, they worship his lotus feet, which are meditated upon by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. So again, you see the element of reverence here. The devotees constantly and opulently serve the lotus feet of the Supreme the Supreme Lord with various fresh ingredients. So Padasevanam is there's reverence, there's opulence. In the early morning, those devotees wake Sri Hari, who is sleeping happily. They chant mantras and prayers for waking the Lord and play sweet musical instruments. By performing various duties for his satisfaction, they serve the lotus feet of the Lord. Those pure-hearted devotees serve the lotus feet of Sri Krishna according to proper rules and regulations by offering many opulent ingredients such as jeweled ornaments, exquisite garments, fragrance, sandalwood paste, tilak, kumkum, incense and ghee lamp. The devotees cleanse the temple of Sri Hari, bathe the Lord, wash his lotus feet, offer him a throne, flower garlands, palatable foodstuffs and beverages. They fan him, sing, dance and play musical instruments, perform ceremonies and put him to rest. In this way they serve the lotus feet of the Lord. With undeviated attention and according to their capacity, the devotees constantly serve the Lord by making nice garlands, building temples, digging ponds, making wooden beds and palanquins, and putting up canopies and white umbrellas. To please Sri Hari, the devotees hold numerous festivals every month. They hold ecstatic festivals on every occasion and continually perform sankirtan. According to their ability, the devotees serve the Lord during summer by placing him on a boat, by taking him out on processions, by applying sandalwood on his body, by fanning him with a chambra, by decorating him with jeweled necklaces, by offering him palatable foodstuffs, and by bringing him out into the pleasant moonlight. During the rainy season, they keep the Lord in an opulent place, bathe him with pure, warm water, offer him puris cooked in ghee, vegetable soup, and cakes made with tasty condiments. In this way, they serve Sri Hari according to their ability. During the autumn, the devotees serve Sri Hari exactly as they do in summer. During the winter, they put fire inside the temple room, and they sometimes take the Lord outside to enjoy the morning sun. They bathe the Lord with warm water, dress him with soft woolen clothes and opulent outfits, offer him newly grown rice and offer him incense according to their ability. In the spring, the devotees take the Lord on a procession to a flower garden, offer him drinks made with honey, decorate him with fragrant flowers, offer him coloured powders and a garland of forest flowers. In this way, they serve Sri Hari according to their ability.
So, you know, although, you know, devotees may dress the deities in, you know, different clothing every day, but the element of padasavanam would be they make sure that they're not too hot in summer, the clothes, you know, warmer clothes in winter, you know, things like that. So, taking into consideration the circumstances, you know, for a person, you know, and so many different elements there, and here just as a summary, again from the Hari Bhakti Kalpalatika, like a wife who constantly serves her husband, the devotees serve the lotus feet of Sri Hari with attachment, affection, respect, honesty, humility, and eagerness. The Lord is constantly served by the pure-hearted devotees with love, affection, respect, attachment and devotion, just as if he were their own sons, their friend, their wife, their husband, their benefactor, their bona fide spiritual master or benefactor.
So, you know, a couple of years ago when my wife and Varuni went to Vrindavan, they went over there and they wanted to come back with a Govardhan Shila. And at one stage, my daughter Varuni went into the room with Indrajumna Swami, His Holiness Indrajumna Swami, and she said, "Have you got a Govardhan Shila for my dad?" And he said, "Yes, I have." And so he gave her a Govardhan Shila. He said, "This is for your family. You can worship him when you grow up. You will treat him like your brother and your parents will treat him like their son."
So that is, you know, the element of Padasevanam, that according to... So therefore, you know, one of the principal services I've always considered that I do for my home deities is preaching, Sankirtan, that as an element of, you know, Padasevanam. So, all right, so that, you know, that's just a summary of what we went through last week, so you don't feel like you've missed out on anything. And now, I also, you know, for these nine different processes of ocean service, I'd like to quote from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, the course, Sri Gaudiya Kantaha. Now, this one he titles as The Result of Padasevanam, and it is the prayer from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.25.57, which the sannyasis chant as the mantra. This is the mantra they give to the sannyasis, right? Etam sa astaya paratma nishtam ajasitam puratma maharishibir aham tarishyami dharanta param tamo mukundhangri nishevaya. I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas, who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's an interesting... So you can see how the Sankirtan element of the sannyasis, not necessarily always being fixed in one place to do worship of the deities, you know, daily, regularly, in one place, and sometimes circumstantially because they're travelling... So there's a stronger element of Padasevanam within their worship, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura includes this verse as the result of Padasevanam, in that one can cross over the insurmountable ocean of the nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. So, and this is Srimad Bhagavatam 11.23.57. You would never, you know, that's a nice connection, isn't it? You know, the Padasevanam. And so,
Lakshmi Devi is considered as an example.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I had a wrong question. I missed the part. It is about Vandana, offering prayers, usually akrulas. Prayers are
considered as the, and why is it so? So many prayers are there to the Lord, the epitome of prayers. He offered a lot of prayers.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot, you know, especially when you go through the you know, they're summarised in the Krishna book.
Yeah.
But actually, when you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, he offered a lot of prayers at different stages of his travel. It's quite significant.
Even before, even okay,
yeah.
Before
he went there, when he got there, and then when they come out of the river, and so many, you know, so there's actually quite a lot of prayers. If you go through that whole section, there's quite a lot of prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the Bhagavatam classes, it actually takes a significant amount of time to get through those prayers, and they're really all-encompassing. You know, they cover quite a lot. So, and they are, you know, prayers to Krishna as well. which is very significant, in those prayers, he is acknowledged as a personality of Godhead, non-different from Narayan. So, it covers quite a lot. His prayers, are filled with so much, transcendental understanding of Krishna and Balaram. Yeah. But you'll see that when we get to the 10th canto, they're very significant. Maybe just a little quote here from Prabhupada. In 1968, this is from a lecture. So this is from Bhagavad Gita 3:18 to 30, Prabhupada is discussing. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked a question. In the past, when there were men who practiced yoga, concentration on Krishna within the heart, when they perfected this, were they rendering devotional service? That's his question. So they're practicing yoga, concentrating on Krishna in the heart. When that is perfected, were they rendering devotional service? Nice question. Prabhupada, yes. Devotional service, there are 9 kinds. As you mentioned, 7.5.23, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shravanam, just as you are very kindly hearing, so this is devotional service. Those who are patiently hearing these topics of Krishna, they are also discharging devotional service hearing. Shravanam Kirtanam. And just as you are reading, you're also rendering service. See? So in Kirtanam, he says, just as you are reading. So by reading his books, as we do, like here, I'm reading, and people are hearing that. So he sort of includes reading as like Shravanam Kirtanam process. And Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam. Those who are engaged in the service of this temple, they are discharging devotional service Parasevanam. So those who actually serve the temple, that's Parasevanam. All the different things. And then he says, Archanam, those who are engaged in the service of the deity, they're executing devotional service. He makes that little distinction there. Vandanam, those who are offering prayers, they are engaged in devotional service, just like in Christian church or mosque. They have no deity, but they offer prayer. That is devotional service. And they're Prabhupada, quite often, in many of his lectures, he included the prayers of the Christians and the Muslims as part of the 9 processes of devotional service of offering prayers. And he accepted that it was a form of bhakti. There was, there was an element of bhakti within what they are doing. It's not different from what we are doing.
So, Lord, give us our daily prayer.
Yes.
Is that
they're offering prayers to the Lord. Yeah. It may not be pure devotional service, but there's an element of bhakti there. So, with bhakti, there can be a small element. There can be, predominant element, but there's an element Prabhupada accepted. They're accepting him as a person, so the bhakti is there, and there's reciprocation. So everyone in relationship with God, there are many formulas. If he follows all the formulas, or some of them, or at least one of them, sincerely, he'll get perfection. That is the way. 7.5.23, Srimad Bhagavatam. But for all devotional service, the main pillar is Shravanam Kirtanam. Says it again. Without hearing, other processes of devotional service will not be perfect. The hearing is most important. Hearing, according to our Vaishnava philosophy, especially Lord Chaitanya's, this hearing and chanting are 2 main pillars for devotional service. So this is what we have stressed in this section, and Prabhupada is stressing it again in his lectures, and he's stressing it in his purports. The Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, that is the backbone. And from Jaivadharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur stating the same point. He says, Padasevanam, rendering menial service, is the fourth limb of bhakti. It has to be executed with the assistance of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Now, so we hear that if you do any one, so they're all absolute, if you do any one, you'll attain perfection. Then we hear there's a consecutive order. You know, you do Shravanam, you'll be able to do Kirtanam, you'll be able to do Smaranam, you'll be able to do Padasevanam. And here, you know, we hear that Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam are the backbone, and that Padasevanam has to be executed with, you know, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So, you know, and we've discussed this, that each item of devotional service means that, for instance, as Prabhupada says, if there's no deities, you know, one may be able to offer prayers. So, in the absence of the opportunity, Krishna has provided 9 different processes, which means something will always be available to someone. And down to the point where somehow a thought of the Supreme Lord enters one's head is called Shravanam. So to that point, that somehow there's, if someone can invoke someone to think of the Supreme Lord for a few moments, they have done something. And that, as Rupa Goswami said, all the rules and regulations will follow from that. See? So for it's absolute, which means in the absence of other things, if somehow or another they can think of Krishna, Ram, one of the different forms of the Lord, or his devotees, that will bring them to the other processes. And then gradually, if they take up hearing properly, they'll be able to execute the devotional practices properly and purely, and then attain perfection in any, you know, in them, like that. So, you know, it appears contradictory, you know, appears like different statements, but what it is there's a liberality allowing someone to do something at any one point. No one misses out. So, and now we're quoting this Hari Bhakti Kalpalatika just to show his understanding of the Sankirtan movement. Earlier on in his book, he says this, that devotees are fully absorbed in performing the 9 types of devotional service, but Sri Hari Sankirtan is their life and principal activity. Those devotees whose mind and intelligence are fully absorbed in the performance of Sri Hari Sankirtan are able to taste the happiness of relishing the sweet mellows of the Lord. So again, although he describes in his book the 9 processes of devotional service, he understands the importance of this, you know, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam as well. Same message as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So very much in line with our teachings. And, you know, there are many nice letters from Prabhupada on this point. Here's one to, you know, to Govinda, 1975. He says, I am concerned that you write describing that you are bewildered by the dictates of your material mind. Of course, we have to control the mind, and I have already instructed you and all my students that the restless, fickle mind can only be controlled by putting the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. And that can best be done by chanting Hare Krishna. And there is no alternative in this age. By chanting without offences, the devotee cries to Radharani and Krishna to please lift him out of the material energy and put him into the spiritual energy, which is devotional service. And because we are not at the stage where we can chant and do nothing else all day, there are so many other engagements. So you have sufficient engagement there, because if we are not full-time engaged then, the mind is free to do its fickle business of rejection and acceptance for sense gratification. Maya will immediately enter. We do not even have to call her the moment we are not absorbed in Krishna's devotional service. In this letter you see the nice balance between padasevanam, which include all the services we do for the temple, although we may not be directly engaged in the archanam for the deity, and chanting Hare Krishna. So our main business to control the mind, as Prabhupada says, is to put our mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. And the most, as he says, the main way to put your... it can only be controlled at the lotus feet of the Lord by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But because we can't sit and chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra all day, therefore we have all these services that we can do for the Lord to stop us from getting restless. So we have the padasevanam, and it's a nice balance for the chanting of the Hare Krishna. So, you know, they're combined together in the devotee's usual... devotees probably don't even know they're doing padasevanam, but it's actually, you know, a bedrock of our activity is that every day we're doing so many services for the temple, that's padasevanam, and that helps us to keep us, so we're not restless, and because we're not restless, we can chant purely and without offence, and that's the main way of keeping our attention on keeping our mind fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord, which is also padasevanam, which is the perfection of smaranam. Like, so in one letter you see, you know, then, you know, Prabhupada has very nicely incorporated everything, you know, for us like that. But we really don't often see what Prabhupada has actually done. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, so Prabhupada is saying this, you know, meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjalila 8.253, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Ramananda Raya, out of many types of meditation, which is required for all living entities? Now, when they're saying meditation, they're using the word jhana. Ramananda Raya replies, the chief duty of every living entity is to meditate upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. As a chief meditation. So, smaranam, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, and the chief meditation of Smaranam is to fix the mind on the lotus feet of Radha Krishna. Yes. So, so there's so many verses. I could spend a month on this one, but now, let's just, before we go to Vandanam, let's just have a quick summary of Archanam. We're not going to spend too long on that. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, on Archanam, he says, after Padasavanam comes the process of Archanam, worshipping the deity. And we see also, you know, this is mentioned also in the Nectar Devotion, one of the 64 items. It's item number 30, if you're interested. One must worship the deity in the temple according to the regulative principles. In brackets, Srila Prabhupada's got offering aarti and prasad, decorating the deity, etc. These things must be observed regularly. And as we know, the process of sadhana bhakti is meant to help us to remember the Lord. By the regulative principles of sadhana bhakti, it helps us to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Right, so all the rules and regulations are to serve those two principles, to always remember Krishna and to never forget him. And archaman is a very excellent way to achieve that remembrance of the Lord by, you know, the regulative principles. Now, there are five principal. What were the five principal way, main of the 64 items of devotional service? Five were principal: chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, hearing from a Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity. What was residing in a holy dharma, at least by meditation. So worshipping the deity is one of the five principal ones. So, and you know, amongst them, hearing from the devotees, most important. Associating with devotees and hearing from the Bhagavatam. Chanting Hare Krishna. That was one of them? Was the third? Yeah, those three. Hearing, so we got the Shravanam Kirtanam in the association of devotees. Those three, most important. Worshipping the deity, residing in the Dharma. So, but those first three, again, were, you know, mentioned. So this deity worship is a very principal item of devotional service. And of course, it is expanded into 64 items itself. And even, you know, the apparatus to the deity is expanded. What, that's another 32, you know, different items, something like that, you know. So it's but we're not going to go into all of that. I think we did that in Bhakti Shastri. So Panchapradipa, anyone read the Panchapradipa? That's our manual for deity worship in ISKCON. It gives a definition of the and goal of Archana. The regulated worship of the Archavigraha is one of the nine processes of devotional service Prahlad Maharaj lists in Srimad Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami gives a specific definition of Archana in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 137. Archana is defined as offering of articles of worship, upacharas, with mantra after having performed preliminary purificatory activities, Purvanga karmas, such as Bhuta Shuddhi and Nyasas. So that's the definition. So offering articles of worship with mantra after having performed purificatory activities such as the Bhuta Shuddhi and Nyasas. According to Srila Rupa Goswami's definition of Archana, deity worship includes a variety of activities, some of which may appear rather technical or even ritualistic. But if one keeps the goal of deity worship clearly in mind, then the different aspects of Archana, with its various technical rules and regulations, will be found to serve their purpose, which is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we understand the meaning of Archana, namely formal and regulated offering of respect and service to the Lord, then we may undertake the process of Archana with full faith, enthusiastically performing the prescribed procedures of purification, establishing different articles of worship and offering worship. Then we will attain the goal of worship, love of Godhead. And these detailed regulations are all meant to help the devotees become firmly fixed in the primary regulation of devotional service, as the Padma Purana states, Smartavya Satatam Vishnu Vishmartavya Na Tatuchit Sabe Vidhi Nseda Shu Itayo Eva Unkara. Lord Vishnu or Krishna should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. So, deity worship, as mentioned here, just paraphrasing, they allow devotees in the beginning stages, namely Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So, devotees who have not necessarily achieved a spontaneous attraction and attachment to Krishna and service, but by following the order of the spiritual master and Shastra, they perform regulated devotional activities which purify them and will bring them, help them to advance to a more spontaneous attachment and attraction and service attitude. So, and the activities of devotional service allow devotees, all the senses of the devotee, to be engaged in the service of the Lord. So a person on the platform of Raga Bhakti, all of their senses are engaged spontaneously at every moment. But a person in the beginning, there is a danger that they literally need to be shown how to, and almost instructed and disciplined how to keep all of their senses engaged in the service of the Lord for them. So Archana has that great ability. Archana. So, now, we have seen in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that there is this quote in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhima 22:133, and this is quoting, Chaitanya Charitamrita is quoting Bhakti Rasamrita. Quoting a verse that later appeared in the Bhakti Rasamrita, isn't it? That it has described the five main limbs, the five most important aspects of devotional service, as we said, and then it says at least 35 of the remaining 59 items. So we've got five we mentioned, most important, and then at least 35 of the remaining 59 are directly related to the worship of the Lord in his deity form, Archa Vigraha. Therefore, The last of the five items, deity worship, is especially significant since it includes a wide range of activities devotees perform daily. In fact, this single item, archana, is itself expanded into 64 activities, many of which in turn find their counterparts among the 64 angas, limbs of devotional service. And now Srila Prabhupada, in Nectar Devotion, you know, Srila Prabhupada does stress that this archana is very important, especially for neophytes. Now, that doesn't mean that if one is doing deity worship, they're a neophyte. you know, it's interesting because one time Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji mentioned to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his disciple, he said, he's talking about one very elevated Babaji, who was always engaged in Shravanam Kirtanam, Smaranam. And he mentioned that, oh, you know, he's now doing Archanam. And, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati the core, you know, sort of didn't say much because you don't want to offer any disrespect, but it was interesting. I guess he was wanted to see what he said. He didn't really go into it much, but it was sort of, you know, interesting that it was almost like a backward step. But, you know, so they weren't thinking in those terms, but usually, you know, from Archiman, one does Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, sort of stays on that platform. But he, so, you know, they were just discussing, you know, it's like this Babaji, he's done this and now he's gone back to that. But generally, actually, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam are for elevated devotees, you know. So, and as Prabhupada said in that letter, we can't sit down and hear and chant and think of Krishna all day. So we're given so much engagement to hear to worship, serve in the temple, because we're not elevated enough just to actually always be engaged in Shravakam, Kirtanam, Smaram. They're actually for elevated devotees. That's a, you know, Raga Bhakti platform. And those who have a spontaneous, mature devotional attitude. Yeah. So generally by, you know, it's described that one who worships the deity, this is a Shastric statement, one who worships the deities perfectly for 100 lifetimes, on that person's tongue, the holy name can be there constantly. Yeah. So that's the order of advancement, is the ability to always be chanting, hearing and chanting, remembering. That comes after many years of deity worship. But because we're not, perhaps mature enough, purified enough, we get restless. So we have these other processes of padasavana and amarchanam to keep us always engaged like that. But a purified soul, they can just shove and get them, smile, you know, and preach all day. Yes.
I'm not sure if you explained already about the archana process. I think once asked in Bhagavad class about what exactly we do when we sip water and you tell what happens exactly. And we tell different names of Krishna and does different parts of the body. So I know the mechanics, but
well, there's spiritualization, you know, purification and then spiritualization. So the nyasas are actually spiritualizing, you know, oneself and the different items. So You know, that is the principal difference. So, you know, some activities are purification, but then the spiritualization, which is done with the nyasas, you know, applying the name of the Lord. So that's the main thing. Yeah.
So, Lord, watch us, I mean, tell the name, Okeshwara, and then we are asked to inject the name in the water and then take it. So, we are literally saying the
Yeah, yes. So when we're doing, you know, the Archaman like that, then yes, we are invoking the presence of the Lord within the water by mantra. And then we sip, yeah? And Nyasa is, you know, it's considered a greater act of spiritualization. More so than purification. So, generally, the archman, you know, is purification, but it is a great effect of spiritualization through the nyasas. We discussed that one time. Where was that? That was we discussed the nyasas one time, didn't we? In Bhakti by Baba. It came up in where was that? The Narayan Kavacha, and was it? What's her name?
Sixth Canto.
Who was the woman who did that? Was it Kashyapa's wife?
No.
Diti. Diti. She wanted.
Yeah,
he sort of tricked her, didn't he? In a deity. So, you know, part of getting ready to chant the Narayan Kavacha was she had to do the nyasas and that. We discussed it in that. So, if anyone wants to hear a fuller explanation of that, we did a, you know, so we won't go into it just now. But in that section, if it's still recorded somewhere, then you know, have a listen to that, because we covered that in great depth there. Yeah. But in general, that's the thing. It's spiritualization.
A couple of questions. One question I did not know that was asked that time is, when we're sipping that water, some people say that because it's a holy name, that our lips touching the hand, it doesn't become mochi. But some people say that, no, it's mochi. That's
why we wash our hand after doing every mantra.
Does it become mochi or not? When you're saying
Keshwanama,
drinking that water.
Yeah, I think you're
supposed to put water on your hand again. So does the
hand
become mochi? Because some people say that, no, it doesn't. Because it's a holy name there. So does it become mochi actually when you drink that water, sip the water?
Well, you know, if you've ever seen Srila Prabhupada, you know, take Charanamrita, like I watch even devotees, when they come in, they take Charanamrita. They take the Charanamrita, they wash their hands, and they put their hand on their head. Again, muchi. You know, Prabhupada does like this. You take the Charanamrita, on the head, wash the hands. That's it, you know. That's how you watch Prabhupada, that's how you do it. So the Charanamrita, put on the head, and then wash the hand. Because you become muchi. So, you know, from what Prabhupada's doing, you know, washing the hands after touching your hair, touching your lips, you know, that's the way they say it in Panchavadipa. A lot of people do it. You see them do it the other way. So their final things will become muchi again. So, just from what I'm seeing Prabhupada do, you know, it appears that if you, even though you've been purified, you know, if you touch your hair and you touch your lips, and you have to wash them again. That's what I've seen. So, you know, it's not that Prabhupada's ever muchi, but we still follow an etiquette. A devotee, you know, Alma Pavitra, Pavitra Vasa, Sarva Vasa Gatovi Vasa, you know, one who's always remembering the Lord, they're always purified. But we still follow the etiquettes, you know, generally. Follow the proper etiquettes. Other people will be watching and they may not understand, so for the sake of strictness, it's, you know, there's no harm. I mean, you know, if I saw a devotee, you know, doing that, I wouldn't consider them moochie because, you know, they've taken, you know, the water and they've touched their lips. I don't consider them moochie because, you know, they're chanting the holy names and then we follow that by some more chanting. So I wouldn't say anything. But for the sake of etiquette, it's good to, you know, just, especially with deity worship and like that, you know, if you're performing activities where you're going to come in contact with the service of the deity or what have you, it's good to just be a little stricter. So we've covered the first sentence. After Padasavanam comes the process of Archam. Now, here, Prabhupada mentions in the purport further that if one is interested in the process of Archanam, one must positively take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and learn the process from him. There are many books for Archana, especially Narada Pancharatra. In this age, the Pancharatra system is particularly recommended for Archana deity worship. There are two systems of Archana, the Bhagavad system and Pancharatriki system. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no recommendation of Pancharatriki worship, because in this Kali Yuga, even without deity worship, everything can be perfectly performed simply through hearing, chanting, remembering and worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. So there you see Prabhupada mentions those four. But, Parikshit Maharaj attained salvation simply by hearing, and Sukadeva Goswami attained salvation by chanting. We were looking for this the other day. Prahlad Maharaj attained salvation by remembering the Lord. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, attained perfection by worshipping the lotus feet, the Lord's lotus feet. Prithi Maharaj attained salvation by worshipping the deity of the Lord. Akura attained salvation by offering prayers. Hanuman by rendering service. Arjun by establishing friendship with the Lord. And Bali Maharaj by offering everything to the service of the Lord. All these great devotees serve the Lord according to a particular process. But every one of them attained salvation and became eligible to return home back to Godhead. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is therefore recommended that initiated devotees follow the principles of Narada Pancharatra by worshipping the deity in the temple. So, there you see that Archanam is mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj as one of the nine principal processes of devotional service. But Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't take it up so much. So how do we follow it? Through the Pancharatrika, the Narada Pancharatrika. So it should be followed because it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. but because it's not taken up in detail, then we have to take to the Pancharatrika to get the details. In the Sri, just before we go into the next part of the purport, you'll see that in Sri Gauri Kantaha by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, under the verse from the Bhagavad Gita which gives the principle of Archana, he mentions Bhagavad Gita 9.26. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, food or water, I will accept it. And therefore, you see that Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is highlighting that the goal of Archanam is bhakti, you know, is to develop one's love of God, not just the ritualistic activity. And the active ingredient is that, and he's also, by that verse, we can see that if one offers to the deity, so here Krishna in the Gita is saying, you offer me something, I'll accept it. And Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta is pointing out, if you offer it to the deity, that's Krishna accepting it. So he's tying the deity as non-different from Krishna. So it's, you know, it's a very nice use of that verse to identify the deity as Krishna, and the principal activity in deity worship is bhakti. And now, the next verse he quotes is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.37. This most auspicious path for a religious householder of the twice-born orders, this is the most auspicious path for the religious householders of the twice-born orders to selflessly worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with wealth honestly obtained. Now, in the purport to that verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes that both Sridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami here agree that the ritual karma of Vedic sacrifices is particularly meant for attached householders, those who are already renounced in Krishna consciousness, like Vasudeva himself, need only cultivate their faith in the Lord's devotees, his deity form, his name, the remnants of his food and his teachings as given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So many Vedic you know, performances, rituals can be more for the Karmakandis. If a devotee is worshipping the deity in the temple, you know, not a lot needs to be done. You know, therefore, you know, a lot of things can be very simply done. A lot of samskaras can be very simply done. Just doing something, chant Hare Krishna, you know, get the child to do some alphabets, say Om Hare Krishna, you know, the beginning of their education, and chant Hare Krishna, have a little prasad, all done. Or, you know, there can be a long, big, drawn out ritual like that. So, depending who's present, you know, if the devotees are present, you know, I take the opportunities to simplify things a bit. And, you know, and they appreciate just, you know, the main things are chanting, prasad, and, you know, the deity is there, Shalagram, Radha Krishna. And for others, you know, then, you know, if they don't have faith in the deity, then, you know, a little bit more in the fire, bigger fire, more paraphernalia, more pots, more mantras, you know, more decorations and the priest, so many things like that. Now, the next interesting thing here is this, that Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati then to help us understand the importance aspects of Arjuna. He quotes Srila Jiva Goswami's Krama Sandarbha commentary. And the purport in Srila Prabhupada from, especially for householder devotees, so you see in this purport, so we've got, it is therefore recommended that initiated devotees follow the principles of Narada Pancharatra by worshipping the deity in the temple. And the next verse, the next sentence, especially for householder devotees, from that point on is quoting word for word Jiva Goswami's Krama Sandarbha, which is what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati the Core quotes as a very principal understanding of Arjuna. And that goes down to the word cleanliness. Where do we find that? And you see two paragraphs on that it finishes off with the word cleanliness. Grihastha devotees should be actual examples of cleanliness. So the essence of all that is that deity worship, especially for householder devotees who are opulent material possessions, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. So we've got 9 different processes of devotional service. When it comes to grihastha devotees, deity worship should be a very important part of their devotional service. They have opulence. they have senses, and the nature of being in a householder is that the senses are constantly being taken this way, that way. So as we're discussing about remembering Krishna, and one of the preliminary activities remembering Krishna is to be able to withdraw one's senses and fix the mind on one point. So deity worship helps that, because in grihastha life our senses are constantly not being withdrawn but being taken this way and that way, like that. So okay, how do you withdraw your senses? Cannot be done artificially. So therefore engage the whole family, the deities are the center and the family is all, so therefore your senses are withdrawn back to the deity, even though you're engaged with the whole family like that. So it's very important for grihastha devotees. Otherwise, they will fail to withdraw their senses due to the environment of grihastha life, and the remembrance of Krishna will not happen. So, and there are many different enticements and the opulence and that can be used for the enjoyment of the senses. So that opulence dovetailed into the service of the Lord helps one to withdraw the senses and to not be entrapped by the opulence of grihastha life and the opportunities for enjoying the senses like that. So it's a very important aspect for them, and in that way they can withdraw the senses back to the deity like that. So as we see, all the processes are absolute, and yet some are especially important for beginners, some are especially important for grihasthas, some are especially important sannyas. You had that verse quoting Padasevanam, serving the deity in a more according to circumstances, because the sannyasi circumstances are changing from country to country, time to time like that. So Padasevanam is so So what, you know, what Srila Prabhupada was giving lectures, which I'm sometimes quoting, sometimes writing letters, and what was happening was that each time, you know, oh, this is the most important, you know, oh, this is the most important. See, but they couldn't quite relate, well, if that's the most important, then, you know, why is this devotee doing this? You know, so then some quarrels, controversies, fanaticism, you know, overemphasis, criticism sort of came up. Prabhupada had to answer different letters and speak a little bit more in his lectures like that. You know, there are different histories in ISKCON where certain sections of devotees, you know, you've got your brahmacharis, you've got the ladies, you've got the grihasthas, you've got, you know, your travelling preachers, you've got your pujaris, and, you know, sometimes they're, you know, thinking that, you know, we're better situated and these ones are not, so some controversies. So it does take a little bit of maturity to understand these statements. So, now, Hare Krishna. Your question on the mantras we do sometimes for deity worship, sometimes, you know, even in the Archaman, the mantras, and what have you. So there is a nice explanation of that here in Jivadharma by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, the difference, you know. So I'll read that, so as a further explanation of that principle. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, the fifth of the nine limbs of bhakti is arjana, deity worship. There are many considerations concerning the procedures and the eligibility for this limb of bhakti. If a devotee who has already practiced Shravanam, Kirtan and Smaranam develops strong faith in the deity form of the Lord, and thereby an urge to perform arjana, then he should approach his guru for instruction and the necessary mantra initiation. Thereafter he may be engaged in arjana. So someone asked him the question, what is the difference between naam, the holy names, and mantra, incantation? The answer is given. Naam is the life and soul of a mantra. The great sages have attached suffixes and prefixes such as namaha to the transcendental names. Thus the sages have given us mantras that evoke specific powers of Harinam and establish particular relationships with the Supreme Lord. Truly, Harinam is entirely transcendental and impartial. Thus, he may be chanted by anyone. However, the jiva is entrapped in maya by his false identification with the body and matter. To help release the consciousness of the jiva from the grips of matter and put the consciousness upon the spiritual truth, of the spiritual path, the process of deity worship with the chanting of specific potent mantras has been laid out in the Shastra and by the sages. Hence, mantra diksha is necessary for materialistic men who desire to be engaged in archana. And again, you know, one of the difficulties in Grihastha life is that there is a danger of becoming materialistic or remaining materialistic. So, initiation into Krishna mantra is the most auspicious blessing for all humanity. Out of all the mantras that exist, Krishna mantra is the most potent and effective. To chant Krishna mantra, there is no need to accept the various purificatory processes known as Siddha, Sajja, Susiddha and Adi. When the jiva receives initiation into Krishna mantra from a bona fide elevated guru, he immediately becomes the recipient of the divine potency of Sri Krishna. The inquisitive initiate then receives instructions about the procedures of archana from his guru. At this point in our discussions, not all the details of archana need be described. In brief, it may be said that the observance of Sri Krishna Janmashtami, Kartika Brata, Ekadasi Brata, Margasnana and other vows are incorporated within archana. Along with serving and worshipping Sri Krishna, one thing is indispensable: his pure devotee must also be served and worshipped. So, the mantras that are associated with deity worship assist those whose mind may still be somewhat materially in the grip of material consciousness. They do assist to take the material mind out of that consciousness and thus allow one to, perform the deity worship coming, leaving aside the material consciousness. Those who are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra nicely, they should be, in that consciousness anyway. As we said, deity worship sometimes is considered very important for neophyte devotees. They're chanting, but they may still be somewhat in the grip of material energy, even if they've taken Brahman initiation. It's the beginning of, being steady, predominantly on the spiritual platform. But because it's a beginning, sometimes the material consciousness can come in, and all the various mantras and the engagement of all the senses in deity worship help one to leave the material aspect behind. They're very helpful for that. So I'll just read that sentence again. To help release the consciousness of the jiva from the grips of matter and put the consciousness upon the spiritual path, the process of deity worship with the chanting of specific potent mantras has been laid out in the Shastra and by the sages. Which would indicate that a person who is on the spiritual platform, because of their pure chanting, they may not necessarily, if they're not as stringent with the chanting of all the specific mantras, there's no fault there. They're already on the spiritual platform, the element of bhakti is there, the cleanliness is there, those who are need to be a little bit more detached from the material grip, they have to be more careful. Generally, because senior devotees are being watched by younger devotees, as a question of strictness, they should be very strict as well, because people will follow what they do. And Narada Muni, in the, you know, the Narada Bhakti Sutra, he mentions that even advanced devotees, you know, for the sake of strictness, they still follow all the rules and regulations very strictly, like that. But generally, but if you see an advanced devotee, you know, I've seen, you know, some of the gurus coming along doing deity worship because they're elderly. You know, they've had to come off the deity, go on, pass urine, come back in, chant Hare Krishna, like that. You know, they've not changed their cloth and not done this, and they've just, you know, come back in. You know, others, you know, those allowances may not be there, but you can't fault someone like that because they're pure chanting. They're always in spiritual consciousness, they're completely purified. So, you know, so the prefixes, you know, so, you know, Om Keshavaya Namaha. So there's the Om, there's the Namaha. They're helpful. You know, they're added to the holy name, which is the active principle. But they assist. So, for instance, you know, when we say Namaha, you know, immediately people understand, you know, from, say, you know, Vedic culture, Hindu culture, Namaha, oh, I'm offering my respects, like that, you know, Om Keshavaya Namaha, you know, so I'm off. A devotee doesn't have to necessarily, one who understands the glories of the holy name, they don't have to say Namaha. The respect is there more than anyone, you see. But to assist one into the respectful mood, you know, of the holy name, to say Namaha. You know, say it. It affects the conscious. Oh, you know, so an element of respect enters there. But for a devotee who is understands the holy name, well, that's Krishna. You know, the respect is there. You know, whether they say Namaha is automatically there. So some things assist, and you know, along with the holy name, they direct the consciousness in a particular way, like that, in a helpful way, in a direction that the consciousness should go to, sort of be spiritualized, and the words themselves have that spiritual that potency to do that, to, you know, take the mind in a, you know, a particular way of consciousness. With that. But and Prabhupada says here. You know, like as we said, Prabhupada continues then that he says deity worship in his purport. He says deity worship should be continued along with hearing and chanting. Therefore, every mantra is preceded by the word Namaha. In all the mantras, there are specific potencies of which the grihastha devotees must take advantage. So again. And especially, he's mentioned the grihastha devotees because, you know, there may be some material taint, you know, coming from the grihastha ashram, that sort of environment, and they can take advantage of Namaha. And, at home, I am the centre of enjoyment. I am the lord of, you know, or the lordess of my domain, my home, my griha. And then we step into the deity room. I've seen Brahmanas step into the Deity room. It's like they're stepping into the living room. It's like the Deity room is an extension of the living room. You know, it's like. And then the word Namaha comes up. Oh, you know, this is Krishna's living room. So take advantage. You know, allows them to take advantage. Everyone can take advantage of Namaha, but you know, those who need it more should take more advantage, especially. There are many mantras preceded by the word Namaha, but if one chants the holy name of the Lord, he receives the result of chanting Namaha many times. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can reach the platform of love of Godhead. One might ask, then, what is the necessity of being initiated? The answer is that even though the chanting of the holy name is sufficient to enable one to progress in spiritual life to the standard of love of Godhead, one is nonetheless susceptible to contamination because of possessing a material body. Consequently, special stress is given to the archana vidhi. One should therefore regularly take advantage of both the Bhagavat process, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam. Sometimes Prabhupada says, you know, Bhagavat, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. And sometimes he says, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam. Take advantage of the Bhagavat process and the Pancharatrikic process. And therefore, you know, on the Gaudiya Math, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had two emblems. The Bhagavat, the book, and one was it Lakshmi Narayan or something, representing Pancharatrika Vidhi. So, and Prabhupada, you know, so Prabhupada mentions there that the two tracks that our, you know, Bhakti progresses on, Pancharatrika and Bhagavan keeps us purified. So he is following. So therefore, we see that Prahlad Maharaj, although Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't go into, you know, Archanam very much, he has mentioned it, and therefore we take it, and we take it along with the Bhagavat path, and we take instruction from the Pancharatrika Vidhi, even though it's not specifically in the, you know, as detailed in the Bhagavatam, we take it as very, very essential and get that instruction. So deity worship has two divisions, namely pure and mixed with fruit of activities. For one who is steady, deity worship is compulsory, observing the various types of festivals such as Janmashtami, Ram Navami, Nrisingha Chaturdashi is also included in the process of deity worship. In other words, it is compulsory for householder devotees to observe these festivals. So then Prabhupada mentions the different, many different offences in deity worship, which we won't go into. You can read that in your own leisure. Perhaps read another quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati the core quotes as the principle of Archman from 4.31.14. Now, this may be from Preeti Maharaj's section, I'm not sure. As pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs and everything else, and as supplying food to the stomach enlivens the senses and limbs of the body, simply worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service automatically satisfies the demigods who are parts of that Supreme Personality. And, you know, in many Vedic rituals, people on the platform of fruit of activities feel that they have to worship different demigods. But here, in this verse, helping us to understand that
So as it says, deity worship is sometimes, has two parts. I think I read that. Two divisions, namely pure and mixed with fruit of activities. But for one who understands that by worshipping the Lord, automatically all the demigods are satisfied, then they don't have to perform the fruit of activities. Whereas others, what they'll do is they'll come and worship the deity and then go and worship some demigods as well, you see. So they have the Hindu temple down in Karam Downs. Krishna's there somewhere in a dark back corner somewhere. And they'll worship all the different demigods, because they don't understand deity worship, that if you worship the Supreme Lord, they're all satisfied at that. But for a devotee, they can walk in the Karam Down, they just find Krishna in the back corner, they worship him, everything done. All the other deities perfectly satisfied at that. So he quotes that verse. All right, I think we're pretty much... leave it there. But I'll just mention that if you study the Panchapradipa, you'll also see that there are different divisions of archana, such as svadvaya, or cultivation of devotional service, and self study. And there are other aspects of devotional service apart from just offering the items. And where was it mentioned? Srila Prabhupada mentions, we mentioned that might have been Bhaktivinoda Thakura, a very important part of worshipping the deities is to serve the pure devotees of the Lord. So serving the pure devotees of the Lord, serving Tulsi, looking after guests, study of the Shastras, worshipping the Shastras, they are, and purification, these are other aspects of a deity worship. Because if one is offensive to any living entity, what to speak of a devotee, then the deity may not accept one's service. And, I have seen where devotees somehow do feel that Prabhupada mentions it. I'm not sure exactly where, I'll try and remember. But, sometimes people performing deity worship, devotees performing deity worship, can become a little proud that we're pure and the other devotees are not, because they're out in the street and they're coming in. We're always here at the temple, so we're just always pure. There can be some, apparads and offences even to devotees, and even a little bit of an arrogance in dealing with people who are coming to the temple guests because they're muchi and so many things like that. So, one has to be a little careful, because the deities don't like that. And they may not fully accept one's service like that. All right, so next week we'll look at Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and Atmanabhijanam. All right, leave it there. Yeah, any other questions, comments? No? Yeah?
So, just one question. Attending Aarti, is it classified as deity worship? Person is not in the altar.
Well, in those, it mentions there are 39 or something of items mentioned in nectar devotion, such as accepting the garland and so. They have corollary relationship with devotees who are doing arjuna.
Arjuna, technically one, you know, is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master into the mantras and performing deity worship and some of the things that they do before, during and after deity worship are counted within those 64 items, you know, of devotional service, accepting the prasads, you know, of the Lord, you know, after worshipping the deity is an item of, you know, deity worship. It is deity worship, but you know, it depends who it is. You know, for some it may be preliminary, and you know, for others, you know, it's actually, you know, who are doing archman as an initiated brahmana, it is part of their actual, you know, they are fixed up in that archman process, and others it may be preliminary, you know. So it's archman but more preliminary, you know, they're not initiated. Yeah, but it depends what consciousness they're in. You know, if the person is in the same consciousness as the pujari, they will get the same benefit. You know, if someone comes in and they see the deity, the pujari, their consciousness is, I just have to worship this deity. All the demigods are satisfied. I don't have to do anything separate. Someone comes in, they're seeing the pujari worship, but they're thinking that, you know, when we finish this archman with Krishna, I'll go down to the Hindu temple and worship Durga, you know, just to make sure I'm properly situated. Would you say that they're getting the same benefit? You know? You know, just like Prabhupada says with Padasevana, you know, basically, according to one's, you know, good qualifications in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, and one's mind is always fixed upon the lotus feet of the Lord, that person derives, you know, the full benefit from Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Vishwanath Chakravarti, the course, says, you know, when someone speaks Krishna Katha, you know, the person speaking gets the most benefit, the person hearing, asking the questions gets the next most benefit. Those who are just generally there hearing, they get the next level of benefit. So, you know, although they're all getting the benefit, the person who's speaking is generally accepted as the person who's most focused on that. The person asking the questions is, you know, usually the second most, and others are just made generally, you know, be in that hearing. And they're also getting benefit. But anyone who has the same focus as the speaker or the person asking the questions, then, you know, would be getting the same benefit. You see? So, you know, he identifies that literally, you know, because, you know, there may be different levels of, you know, faith, service, devotion, you know, realization on different levels that a person, so they're all there in that class, but he actually identifies that some are getting more benefit than others. But if someone is in the same consciousness as that speaker, they're getting the equal level as the speaker. But not necessarily. It's not necessarily. So it's available to them. So in other words, the same benefit of the person watching the arti is available to them, but they may not be taking it. Their qualification may not allow them to accept that same benefit, but it's available. That's the point. You know, and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says anyone who, you know, appreciates the activities of a Sankirtan devotee, they get the same benefit as that devotee doing that Sankirtan. That's available. Are they taking that? You know? Anyone who sees the Jagannath Rath Yatra cart go past, they get liberated immediately. Prabhupada says, you know, now one takes that opportunity and they remain on the liberated platform. The Jagannath has gone past, liberated from all material contamination, like that. That's it. So I'm not going back to my conditioned life. So they get the full benefit and they remain on that platform. Others, Prabhupada says, immediately Jagannath pass back to the same conditioned life. The opportunity, the same opportunity is available to remain liberated. So one, you know, when Jagannath passes, you can remain liberated for the rest of your life. That's the opportunity, and that's available to everyone in that crowd who takes advantage of it. Not everyone takes advantage of that opportunity. They just go straight back to the condition. So it's available. It doesn't mean they've taken it. What's available? Okay. Jai. Hare Krishna. Yeah.